think I've only seen one of these ads. And I think it was one of these ads, because I recognized Senator Danforth right off the bat and recognized his voice. The ads come from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. They purport to be pushing a referendum that is scheduled for November 2006 in Missouri. They purport that this referendum would be banning all human cloning in the state of Missouri and would help researchers find life-saving cures. Are the ads telling us the truth? We're going to be reviewing each and every one of them with Scott Klusendorf here for the next 45 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Following our conversation with Scott Klusendorf, Brian Gadawa will join us for the last half hour or so of the program. He's a screenwriter from Southern California and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. We'll do a little bit of a holiday movie review. We'll start with The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and today King Kong comes out. The paper says, how long is it? 3 hours and what?
7 minutes.
3 hours and 7 minutes. It better be really, really good. Really good to be 3 hours and 7 minutes. We'll talk about that with Brian a little bit later on the program. LCMS World Relief underwrites Issues, Etc. We have the same message. It's that simple. Christ-centered and cross-focused. That message they carry out with the relief for people who suffer from earthquakes in Asia or hurricanes in the U.S. or tsunamis at the Pacific Rim and the Indian Ocean, or man-made disasters like that in Sudan or the AIDS crisis in Africa. They're reaching out with relief and with the message of Christ and Him crucified for sinners. LCMS World Relief. They're concerned with both body and soul. You can find them at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can donate directly, toll-free, 1-888-930-4438. That's their toll-free number, 1-888-930-4438, the number for LCMS World Relief. Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He is a regular on the program. He joins us to review and respond to these TV ads in favor of a Missouri referendum next November called Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative. He's president of Life Training Institute. Scott, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you as well. First of all, let's just deal with the title, Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. What kind of path to those cures is being proposed here?
One that creates human beings for the express purpose of destroying them to benefit other human beings. Look, when these people get on the air like Senator Danforth and everyone else in those television commercials that I have viewed for this initiative, every one of those people assumes without argument the embryos in question are not human beings. And that is the very point under dispute here. They're ignoring the fundamental issue. Now, if I came to you, Todd, and said, hey, I've got an initiative to advance cures in this culture, and we're going to save lives with this. You got to be for it. But I don't tell you it requires killing toddlers to get it done. Wouldn't you consider my initiative more about the morality of killing toddlers than about curing other people?
So it's we should be listening not so much for what these ads say, but
for
what
they
don't
say. Oh, this is the most dishonest piece of legislation, and I'm going to say this right on your show, Todd. Senator Danforth is a liar, and he knows better, and I'm appalled that he calls himself a Christian. I'm appalled that he calls himself pro-life, and yet he is trying, and others are trying to push through a piece of initiative that they claim does not ban cloning when it expressly allows it. This is unbelievable stuff, and it mirrors exactly what we saw go down in California 2 years ago. But even this is more deceptive than what I saw in California.
Okay, these are the ads. I'm going to have you respond to each and every one of
sure.
them. They're 5 30-second ads, and then there's one that's a minute long that we'll play at the very end. This first one is Dr. F. Sessions Cole. He is director of newborn medicine for Washington University School of Medicine here in the St. Louis area.
For babies who are struggling every day, the hope on the horizon for them and for their families is stem cell research. There are many different kinds of stem cell research. It is critical that all stem cell research be permitted in the state of Missouri. The focus of the Missouri Stem Cell Research Initiative is finding cures. As a physician, I urge every parent to support the Missouri Stem Cell Initiative.
All right, Scott, what would you respond to first in that ad?
You know, Todd, I hate to tell you this. I couldn't hear a word of it. Now, I watch these ads on TV on my computer screen, but the gist of it, and I'll respond to it.
Well, he's basically, there's the music in the background, and a very sense of urgency created by the music, and he says that there are different kinds of stem cell research, but all kinds of stem cell research must move forward in Missouri, and people must support the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. We'll play it again. I think we got our technical issue resolved. Here it is again.
Okay, go ahead.
For babies who are struggling every day, the hope on the horizon for them and for their families is stem cell research. There are many different kinds of stem cell research. It is critical that all stem cell research be permitted in the state of Missouri. The focus of the Missouri Stem Cell Research Initiative is finding cures. As a physician, I urge every parent to support the Missouri Stem Cell Initiative.
All right, Scott, I hope you heard that
one.
Yeah,
I did.
Response.
I got it. Yeah. Listen, that too begs the question. What if there was, I love this rhetoric here. Listen to what he says. All stem cell research must be permitted. What if we came up with a cure for cancer that required taking stem cells from the hearts of two-year-olds? But, of course, that would end up more than likely killing the two-year-old in the process. Would he then say that that ought to be permitted because we got to allow all forms of stem cell research? This is an attempt to make science the god of the culture here. In other words, instead of saying morality plays a role here, we're going to worship at the altar of science, and we're going to forego discussion of any other methods of truth inquiry. And that's what's scary about all these ads. They just assume a technological morality that says, if we can do it, we ought to do it. And that simply won't fly in the face of what I think most people understand to be right and wrong. If these ads were spelled out in detail for people, I think they'd be appalled at what they're hearing.
This one in particular, the others have their own things about them, but this one in particular, the image is of a man in a white lab coat.
Oh, yeah.
He's got
absolutely beakers
behind them and books behind him. This is the expert speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these ads are so insidious on many different fronts. One of the ones that you see is from a guy named Jeff who says, look, this is not about science versus religion or about political issues, but it's a people issue. And, I mean, the very next ad I viewed was about how stem cell research involving embryos will cure all kinds of disease, and yet there are some politicians who want to ban this. So, you know, on one hand, they claim that they're not being political, and then the very next ad, they slam people who hold a different view than their politicians hold.
This ad, another 30-second spot from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures running in Missouri, is titled Renee and Austin features a mother and her son.
I found out that I had type 1 juvenile diabetes when I was 4 years old.
The reason that we're so interested in stem cell research is it seems to hold such hope and promise potentially for a cure. How do you look at anyone with cancer or Parkinson's or a spinal cord injury and say we're going to walk away from hope? How do I look my son in the face and tell him that we're going to walk away from hope? I can't.
All right, Scott, your reaction.
Well, look, all these ads, our hearts go out to the people suffering. Nobody's disputing that. And pro-lifers like myself want to see people cured. What we oppose is one proposed cure that involves killing one human being in order to save someone else. And if our opponents want to call that walking away from hope, well, it seems to me they can only do that if, again, they assume the unborn embryos in question are not human beings. Notice not once in that ad was the topic addressed, what are the embryos in question? That topic is being totally ignored. And again, what if I said to you, Todd, I understand you got this terminal illness, and we can cure it if we can just round up a toddler and donate his liver and lungs to you, and we're not going to walk away from hope by letting you suffer. We're going to go ahead and do this, even though some people might find it offensive because we don't want to walk away from hope. I mean, you would consider that reasoning ridiculous, and yet only by assuming that these embryos are not human beings can the people say the kinds of things they're saying in these ads.
If I remember correctly, the term embryo or embryonic doesn't even come up in any
it
of these.
It doesn't, and that is amazing in this. Throughout this piece of legislation, they ignore and mislead on those kinds of terms. Cloning, they mislead on that issue. They mislead on the embryo issue. They call embryos fertilized eggs. I mean, just all kinds of stuff that is meant to deceive people.
Let's talk with a caller here, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Joe is on the line calling from his car. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I think we ought to ask John Danforth if he minded if we took Episcopalians and used their stem cells, but that's not my comment. It seems there's another unproven assumption here, is that we have to eliminate suffering at all cost or at any cost, no matter what. And that's something that I find as disturbing as anything with this. I mean, suffering, we can never get rid of suffering. And we're always going to suffer in some way, shape, or form. Yet the assumption is if this will eliminate some measure of suffering for someone, then it has to be done no matter what.
Thank you very much, Joe. Scott, your thoughts?
Joe's right on the money. And we live in a culture today that wants to avoid suffering, as Joe said, at all costs. And what's happening in conjunction with that is the belief that I have a fundamental right to health care. I have a fundamental right to be cured of whatever I have, even if I caused it, and that nobody should ever tell me I can't be cured. And that is why these ads resonate with the public. That is why the public watches these ads of doctors who speak with authority, families who play to our sympathies, saying, look, my six-year-old's got a disease. You're telling me you want him to die just because of your outdated morality here? These kinds of arguments resonate with people who've been spoon-fed this notion that health care, one's personal health, is paramount to all other considerations. And I agree with Joe completely.
Here is the third ad that's running here in Missouri from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. This one I found most curious. It comes from Pastor Emmanuel Cleaver III.
There have been times when I've had to minister to those when there's nothing that the medical establishment can do. And that's when we just, in the faith community, say that all we can do is pray. And if there are those possibilities that we can discover medicines that can save lives, I'm always excited and for that. When the stem cell initiative is on the ballot, I will vote in favor of it with the hope that people of Missouri can move forward.
All right, Scott, what's your reaction?
Well, this pastor does not speak with a biblical worldview, and it's unfortunate that he doesn't. But look, what if I said that we could move forward with treatments that would save lives if all we did was round up African Americans and kill them for medical research? Would he support that kind of moving forward with technological research if it could save lives? Well, I think the good pastor would very quickly say, of course not. That's ridiculous. I would never do that because human beings are involved. Ah, well, isn't that the issue here when it comes to the embryos? Are these embryos human beings? The pastor has not addressed that issue. And it's shocking to me, Todd, that someone who claims to be a Christian, claims to have a biblical worldview, claims to be someone who prays, and I'm going to grant that he does all those things. But I'm also going to point out that it's a shame that he is so misinformed on how Christian worldview principles apply in our culture.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Bill. He calls from Southern California and listens on the Internet. Bill, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Hi, how are you today? I was calling because, you know, I hear a lot of talk about these things, but frankly, the entire argument is predicated on your interpretation of the scripture, because any scriptures that I've ever talked to a pro-lifer about that where they use it to attack abortion is always predicated on the belief that life begins at conception. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that.
I agree with you completely, Bill. In fact, I'll say that nowhere in the scripture does the Bible teach that the unborn are human. I agree with you completely. Let me ask you a question. Can you find me a verse in the Bible that says the French are human?
I think Bill's not with us anymore.
No, I'm absolutely with you. It's a silly discussion because...
What do you mean?
Why?
Because what happens is that when people start using the scripture the way you're trying to use the scripture...
I haven't used a scripture. I've agreed with your premise. I've granted your entire argument that the scripture is silent. I'm asking you, does the Bible teach anywhere that the French are human?
There were no French at the time that the Bible was written.
Okay. Does the Bible teach anywhere that Palestinians are human?
There weren't Palestinians either.
Oh, there weren't? Excuse me. There were lots of them. There were lots of people living in the Palestine region at that time.
It certainly does discuss the status of Jews and non-Jews. So if you want to talk about statuses, if you want to go into that kind of discussion,
Bill,
we can certainly go into that
kind
of discussion.
Bill, are you arguing then that any kind of people group the Bible does not specifically mention is fair game for medical research?
No, you see, again, you're doing exactly what I originally said.
Which is
what? You assume that life begins at conception.
I haven't assumed anything. I'm asking you
when
to defend
your own... When does life
begin?
Where does the scripture teach that when human life begins?
It doesn't, and I'm saying you're right. It says nothing about it.
Okay, so what you're doing is in direct conflict.
No, I'm not.
Wait. What you're doing is in direct conflict with what Paul said. If the scripture isn't clear on something, then you haven't the right to tell me, as you've been implying throughout this discussion.
Bill.
Let me finish, please. As you've been implying throughout this entire discussion, you go, well, they say they're Christian, but how can they be Christian if they're pro-choice?
Bill, are you saying whatever the Bible doesn't expressly condemn, it permits?
No, what I'm saying is whatever the Bible expressly does not condemn, then it's a matter of the Holy Spirit working on the individual heart.
Bill,
so
thank you
Bible
for the call.
The Bible does not expressly condemn drive-by shootings. Is that a matter of personal interpretation then?
Bill is gone now.
Okay. See, this is a silly argument. It's an argument from silence, and those are always fallacious for the reasons that I just mentioned by my questions of Bill. Let me pack out here what we were getting at. Nowhere does the Bible say the unborn are human. I'll grant that. But I don't need the Bible to tell me the unborn are human in order to know the Bible does not permit elective abortion or destructive embryo research. Here's how I can say that. The Bible teaches that all human beings have value because they bear God's image. Therefore, all I need to know is, are the unborn human beings? The answer from medical science is unequivocally yes. We know they are human beings. How do we know that? Because every embryology textbook in the world says that. If that's true then, and I know that the unborn are human, even if Scripture doesn't specifically say the unborn are human, it doesn't matter. By inference, I can see the truth of the biblical position, just like I know that even though the Bible doesn't say the French are human, I know they are and bear God's image, though some listeners might question that, because they, too, are members of the human family. They bear God's image. I don't need a passage to tell me that.
It sounds as though Bill's argument is just a slightly more sophisticated version of this is just a religious issue.
Well, in a way, yes. I mean, he might be even trying to take a position that would seem very orthodox and very hermeneutically sound. But any time, Todd, we argue from silence regarding Scripture, we get into trouble. I've had a friend of mine who has argued for years that sexual activity short of actual intercourse is permitted because the Bible nowhere specifically says that sexual activity outside intercourse is wrong. Now, I think you and I hear that and go, huh? Wait a minute. Christ talked about living purely. He talked about controlling our minds and not lusting. How could you engage in those kinds of things and not do those things? He says, well, until you show me a chapter and verse, I'm not going to buy your argument. Well, I'm sorry, but my friend is living in sin. And he's using an excuse that the Bible is silent. And that's what I think is going on here.
Kathy calls from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I know a lot of this is centered around the medical profession and science, this argument for stem cell research. The thing I don't understand is, I don't know where a lot of people stand with the medical profession, but not that they don't do good and things like that, but, I mean, I think everyone probably has had a bad experience with the medical profession, whether it be with the medication being wrong, or side effects from things. I know when my son was in the hospital, he was in ICU. I left for 30 minutes to take a shower, and I come back, and the nurse had left the water running when she washed her hands. And in the sink that was had filled up with water and was overflowing. An orderly was running up the stairs when I got back to ICU, cussing and saying, it's raining in the rooms below. My son's in a metal crib with all these things going, you know, he's attached to all kinds of machines. They won't let me go in there because I could become electrocuted. And, you know, I mean, where are people with a medical profession? I mean, I've had one bad experience after another, and people think it's just the greatest thing. It's going to solve all their problems.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy.
Kathy, I think we need to be fair here, though. On balance, to be honest, we have much to be thankful for our medical profession. We have the finest medical care anywhere in the world. Is it perfect? No. Are mistakes made? You bet, because human beings are involved. And any time you have fallible human beings involved, there will be mistakes. However, there is no doubt that today's medical cures that we are able to enjoy are part of God's common grace extended to mankind, and I'm very thankful for it. But that common grace does not permit us to do things that are otherwise immoral. If we see, for example, an opportunity to cure disease by killing off 100 people, that does not give us medical license. It doesn't give us moral license, rather, to do that. And that's exactly what's being proposed here with this stem cell initiative that's on the ballot or will be on the ballot in Missouri. We are proposing here not curing people merely, but killing other human beings in order to pursue cures that we don't even know exist yet.
Bill calls from his car. Bill, we've only got about a minute here before this break.
Okay, I'll be brief. In reference to the caller from California, pardon me, who denies that an embryo is a human being, I'm curious, of all the people that deny that an embryo is a human being, has there been any consensus or agreement as to what point this, whatever it is, becomes a human being?
There is a consensus agreement, and that is at the conclusion of the act of conception or the conclusion of a cloning process, you have a distinct living and whole human organism that's present.
But Bill's question is, among those who deny that the embryo is a human being.
Oh, among those who deny, I'm sorry. In that sense, they're all over the map. Some say it's not human until there's cognitive brain function. Others say until it can feel pain. Others say until the mother decides it's human. But these are all subjective standards. They cannot agree on some objective point.
And if I remember correctly, folks, there is an ethicist at Princeton, a bioethicist at Princeton, who says, you know, the whole humanness thing, the whole personhood thing, that might not apply until maybe age 2 or 3 even. So once you open that Pandora's box, you pretty much have no place to anchor. Oh, I'm mixing my metaphors. Once you pull up the real anchor, you have nothing to hold you down. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Scott Klusendorf, listen to some more of these ads from the Missouri Coalition for Saving Cures. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
He came not in glory, not to kings and princes. He came in humility to common people. He came to us. These words come from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, a beautifully illustrated children's book for Christmas called The Shepherd's Christmas Story. This book tells the story of our Savior's birth from the perspective of the shepherds who witnessed it and then witnessed to others of Christ's birth. You can order The Shepherd's Christmas Story from Concordia Publishing House. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Shepherd's Christmas Story, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org.
Here's a special AMA 50 KFUO salute to our day sponsor on this Wednesday, December 14th, 2005, Roland Schulenberg. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AMA 50 KFUO in celebration of Roland's 81st birthday and the 81st birthday of AMA 50 KFUO. Once again, a very special thank you to Roland Schulenberg of Imperial, Missouri, today's AMA 50 KFUO day sponsor.
And when St. Paul said, "We preach Christ and Him crucified," did he mean that the entire substance of Christian preaching ought to be the forgiveness of sins in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. Journal on listening to a sermon. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. This article will give you a simple test to see if your pastor is preaching Christ crucified. 1-800-737-0172. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn has an article on the false Christs being preached in our day, and the Wittenberg Trail feature details how an Eastern Orthodox priest became a Lutheran pastor. 1-800-737-0172. If you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio program, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172.
On Thursday's Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Joni Harwell and me, Diane Summers. We'll be talking with Dr. Miles Bader, and we'll find out about the science and secrets of old-fashioned cooking. We'll also speak with Jeff Craigmeyer on staff at AM 850 KFUO as the development director. We'll talk about end-of-the-year charitable giving. It begins at 11:05, Living Jubilee, on AM 850 KFUO.
On the next Focus on the Family, some of Dr. James Dobson's closest friends meet to provide an insider's view of the man and his mission.
Jim's a great example of a life that began very humbly, but he followed Christ's calling in his life.
That's on the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO. Popular author Dandy Daly McCall has written our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, titled The Shepherd's Christmas Story. It's a Christmas book for young children. The Shepherd's Christmas Story is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about The Shepherd's Christmas Story on our website, issuesetc.org. The Shepherd's Christmas Story.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about these ads that are running here in Missouri that are in favor of the Missouri referendum next November, called the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative. The ads come from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, and there are six of them. We're on ad number four, if I'm not mistaken. Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He's president of Life Training Institute. You can find out more about them by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click links on the left-hand side of the homepage. Scroll down and you'll find a direct link to Scott Klusendorf and Life Training Institute. Our website address again, issuesetc.org. All right, Scott, here's the ad that you referenced before, the one that includes this young man named Jeff.
This isn't a political issue. It's not a partisan issue. You know, this isn't a science versus religion, a Democrat versus Republican. This is a people issue. And that's why this initiative is so vital. This could very well affect the lives of not just hundreds of thousands of Missourians now, but millions of people down the road in future generations.
All right, there's the ad, Scott. What's your response to it?
Well, again, let's notice the question-begging nature of the claim being made. He says it's not a science or political issue. It's a people issue. My question for Jeff is this. Are the embryos in question people? Of course, again, that is never addressed in the ad. It's just assumed that killing an embryo for research is morally benign, like having your tooth pulled. But that is never argued for. It is simply assumed. It's interesting, he says it's not a political issue and it's not a science versus religion issue, but Senator Danforth, whose money is behind this initiative big time, has repeatedly argued that the religious views of the hard political right should not be allowed to stop people from finding the cures that they need. So once again, these people claim to be moral and neutral, and they're not trying to be politicizing this issue, and that's exactly what they're doing with these ads.
If this were such a no-brainer, as these ads seem to indicate, mm-hmm. then why won't they mention the word embryonic?
Well, they won't, and I'll tell you, because they know what will happen. If you go to the public and you say, should your tax dollars be used to create human embryos for the express purpose of killing them for medical research, do you think the results are going to come back positive or negative? Well, I think in most states, with the exception of California and Massachusetts and maybe New York, those ads are going to, or that question would come back overwhelmingly in the negative. People would say, no, my money shouldn't be used that way. But what if you ask the question this way? Do you think medical science ought to use every available means to it to find cures for people? Well, of course, who's going to argue against that? But again, it's what's not being said that is so devastating. And then when it is said, it's deceptive. Let me give you an example from the initiative itself. Here's what the initiative says. It says, the initiative clearly protects the rights of Missouri patients to have their diseases and injuries treated with any stem cell cures that are allowed by federal law and available to other American citizens. Here's the deceptive part of that, Todd. Federal law does not prohibit cloning embryos for stem cell research. That is perfectly allowable in America today. There is not one law on the federal books that prohibits cloning for stem cell research. What is prohibited is using tax dollars to create human embryos for medical research, and we're not allowed to use our tax dollars to do embryonic stem cell research on embryos in fertility clinics. Federal tax dollars, state tax dollars can be used, but federal tax dollars are not allowed for that. But just because you aren't allowed to fund that cloning research doesn't mean it's been banned. There is no ban against cloning. So this initiative on one hand says this prohibits cloning expressly. I mean, they're telling us that this initiative specifically prohibits human cloning. But then in the next breath, it says the initiative will guarantee that stem cell cures available to other Americans will be allowed here in Missouri. Well, you can see by that logic, they have just opened up the door for the funding of cloning research. This is so deceptive.
It's also like saying because it's legal federally, then it must be right.
Oh, yeah. There's that assumption throughout this initiative that if it's legal, it's right. It's just amazing here. Listen to this language. There are two basic sources of embryonic cells. One is leftover fertility clinic embryos that would otherwise be discarded. By the way, death row inmates are going to eventually be discarded. Should we chop them up for research? But moving along, it says the other process for getting cells is somatic cell nuclear transfer, which uses a patient's own cells and a donated unfertilized human egg to make ES cells. Excuse me, that doesn't make ES cells. It makes a human embryo that we're going to kill to get those embryo cells.
All right, here's the ad that has been so much in circulation featuring Senator Danforth, former Senator Danforth, who calls himself pro-life.
My entire political career, I voted pro-life. And that is exactly why I favor the stem cell initiative. I believe in saving human life. I want cures to be found. And I want the scientists, the physicians who are here in our state of Missouri to participate in finding these cures. Please join me in supporting the stem cell initiative.
Okay, Scott.
Well, first question for Senator Danforth. Are the embryos in question human lives we ought to be saving? Of course, he begs the question and assumes simply that they are not. No mention of that question whatsoever. Look, I agree with Senator Danforth. I want cures too. I want people to get well. And by the way, Senator Danforth, I support stem cell research wholeheartedly, but I'm opposed to one kind of stem cell research that requires killing defenseless human beings so that others may allegedly benefit. That's immoral, and Senator Danforth has given us no reason whatsoever as to why we shouldn't think it's immoral.
Here's the final ad, simply entitled The Stem Cell Initiative.
Stem cells could provide cures for diseases and injuries that afflict millions of people, including diabetes, Parkinson's, ALS, cancer, heart disease, and spinal cord injury. But some politicians in Jefferson City want to ban important types of stem cell research and cures in Missouri and make life-saving stem cell research a crime in our state. The Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative was developed to make sure that won't happen. This voter referendum measure will ensure that Missouri patients have access to any stem cell cures that are allowed under federal law. It will ensure that our medical institutions can provide and help develop those cures. And it resolves the cloning issue by banning any attempt to clone a human being. The initiative is supported by a broad coalition of medical and patient groups and people from all walks of life. You can help by signing our petitions to let Missourians vote on this important measure. For more information, please contact the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Thank you.
Scott, your reaction there.
First of all, I would love a coalition of concerned citizens to generate a lawsuit against this initiative based on the misleading language in it. Unbelievable. That soundbite you just played is just laced with one lie after another. Let's start with what I mentioned a moment ago. It says that it prohibits cloning. Right. Somatic cell nuclear transfer is federally allowed. That is a cloning procedure by which we clone human embryos to get stem cells. That is permissible in the United States. And that ad just got done telling us that in Missouri, if this initiative passes, that it will make sure that citizens of Missouri are entitled to any federal stem cell treatment that's permitted by law. Well, guess what's permitted? Cloning. But then it turns right around and says that it prohibits cloning, that this initiative prohibits cloning. No, it doesn't. It specifically allows for it. Todd, this is just unbelievable stuff.
The other thing, real quickly, is it starts out by saying stem cell research could lead to all sorts of cures, and then by the middle of the ad, it's calling it life-saving research.
Yeah, and this word could is a weasel word. I know of not one treatment that is currently online involving embryonic stem cells, and there's a reason for that. Number one, we have no idea how these stem cells will behave once they're implanted in a human body. There is a real concern that it will lead to tumors, a real concern that once we implant them, we won't know how to control them. And yet, again, none of this is mentioned in the ad. We're given the impression that these embryonic stem cells, if we're simply allowed to harvest these cells, will cure everything from acne to Alzheimer's. Well, that's just totally misleading.
Louise calls from her car. Hi, Louise. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Todd and Scott. This is a great program. I just had a comment on that conversation with a gentleman from California about the scripture not saying anything about an embryo being human. Well, I kind of think it does, because there is a scripture that talks about God forming us in our mother's womb. If he formed us in our mother's womb from the very beginning and then called us good, it seems to me that that's pretty much of a human thing.
Thanks, Louise. Scott?
Well, I actually, you're going to be surprised by this, Todd, but I think the strongest pro-life case we can make from scripture is to avoid scriptures like Psalm 139 and Jeremiah 1:5 and Job 3, the scriptures typically used by pro-lifers. It's not that I think they don't teach the humanity of the unborn. It's that I think we can make our argument much more stronger. And here's how to do it. We know that all human beings bear God's image and therefore have tremendous value. Exodus 23:7, Genesis 9:6, James chapter 3, they all teach this, that human beings bear God's image and therefore have value. The scriptures also teach that it's wrong to shed innocent blood. Why? Because humans bear God's image and therefore have value. Now, the only thing I need to know next is, what is the embryo? What is the unborn? Are they human beings the way French are human, Germans are human, Americans are human, like you and I are human? If so, then the same commands that forbid the shedding of innocent blood would apply to the unborn as they do each of us. And we know from the facts of science that the unborn are unmistakably human beings. I mean, what else could they possibly be? How can two human parents get together and produce something that isn't human but later becomes human? This isn't hard. And I'll tell you what, once I know that fact, I don't need a verse of scripture to teach me that the unborn deserve protection any more than I need a verse of scripture to tell me that Americans do.
Scott, we've got a full board of callers wanting to ask you questions. Can you stick with us till the top of the hour?
I can.
All right, let's talk then with Jeff in St. Peter's. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for waiting.
Hello, Todd. You kind of stole what I was going to say, but more to the point, after could is mentioned, they could if they had the anything palatable mention what type of advances embryonic stem cell has made, when in fact there are hard facts out there, and your guest has mentioned it, that there's been nothing successful. Matter of fact, there is a specific number, or maybe not even specific, but a number that regular stem cells has cured versus any embryonic. Could you expound on that, please?
Thank you very much, Jeff. It is odd that they don't tout the many supposed successes of embryonic stem cell research in these ads. That would seem to me the biggest selling point.
Exactly. And I know of right now about 70-plus treatments that are being developed using adult stem cells. These are stem cells we can get without killing the donor, and therefore I have no ethical objection to them whatsoever. And by the way, Todd, if we ever come up with a way to get embryonic stem cells without killing the embryos in question, I will be one of the first in line to wholeheartedly support that research. And there is some indication we may be moving that way. There is research being done out at Stanford University. Dr. Ed Hurlbut is doing some great work involving what is called altered nuclear transfer, which involves creating stem cells that are embryonic stem cells without creating an actual embryo that we have to kill to get the stem cells. That's very promising work. It's still a ways away, but that could come. We could come to that one day. And if we do, I'm all in favor of it. But when we're talking about killing an embryo to get cures that we don't even have any proof for yet, it just becomes even more insidious.
Now, is there a potential danger in placing the debate entirely upon the adult stem cell research successes?
Yeah, there is. And pro-lifers need to be careful of this. There could come a day where the embryonic stem cells will work. We need to admit that. And we need to be careful to say that our argument doesn't rest purely on practical considerations. It rests primarily on moral ones. We oppose embryonic stem cell research because it takes the life of a developing human being. Now, the initiative is very deceptive about this, because it says in the initiative that it strictly forbids cloning that would create babies. Now, there's the weasel word here, babies. In fact, one of the ads we just listened to had the word baby in it. And they're trying to play on the sentiments there of pro-lifers who don't really understand the moral logic of their position. The pro-life position is not, Todd, that it's wrong to have an abortion or conduct embryonic stem cell research because those things kill babies. We oppose abortion and embryonic stem cell research because they unjustly take the life of a human being, regardless of whether or not it's a baby.
Let's talk with Paula. She's calling from her car. Hi, Paula.
Hi, yes. This is a very interesting discussion, and I just wanted to know what your feeling is about what you're talking about being represented in the public in commercials. Because everything you're saying, there are things that people need to hear, and the people that need to hear it are not hearing it.
I agree, Paula, and let me tell you two things. Number one, these ads are effective, and they're going to work. I hate to give you bad news, but they're going to work, and it will take a miracle from God for this initiative to be defeated. Do I think that's possible? Yes, I do. Let me tell you what else needs to happen, though. Our pulpits need to resound with clarifying truth on this initiative. Look, do we or do we not as Christians believe that humans have value because they bear God's image? If we believe that, that is theological reason enough for our pulpits to thunder with clarifying moral truth on this initiative and on this issue of embryonic stem cell research. And I grow so tired of some of our pastors complaining on one hand that the media won't tell the truth, and yet they're silent in their pulpits on these issues of grave moral concern. So, Todd, our pastors that are listening, they have a duty while they preach the message of the cross and make that central to their preaching, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. It doesn't follow from that that our churches don't also have a responsibility to clarify worldview issues that relate to life and death.
Let's see what Rodney has to say. He's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Rodney.
Hello. Yes, wanted to provide you with a little bit more information as to Senator Danforth's beliefs, at least as he stated on a news program here in St. Louis over the weekend. He said that the embryo does not become a human being until it is implanted in a woman's womb, and at that point it becomes a human being. Now, I don't know, based on that argument, I might assume that if the embryo was implanted in a giraffe's womb, it might become a giraffe then.
yeah, exactly right. And you've hit on the problem with his argument. And by the way, what happens, let's say 20 years from now, we don't need a mother's womb in order to gestate human life. What if we can artificially do it in an artificial womb? According to Senator Danforth's logic, then, experimenting on a 9-month-old fetus would be fine as long as it's not in a mother's womb.
Interesting. Here's Charles from Chesterfield. Charles, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. Fantastic program. Appreciate it very much. I must admit, in a preliminary statement, that it's an enigma to me as to why so many pastors, LCMS particularly, skirt the pro-life issue. I just can't understand it, but that's just a sidelights comment. I was wondering about why, or maybe if indeed, there is any kind of an alternate approach to offset some of these issues on television. For instance, if Life Training Institute or Missouri Right to Life or National Right to Life or Lutherans for Life are taking up this issue to counteract some of those television blurbs. And I'm wondering if that was a viable option.
All right. Thank you very much and for the call. Part of what we're trying to do here right now. Your thoughts, Scott?
I agree with the caller. It would be great if we had widespread media avenues open to us. We don't. We don't have the funding behind our effort that the other side will have on its side, and we won't even be close. However, in California, we learned a lesson out there. We were far too late getting our message to the public to try to defeat a bill very similar to this one. The ads that we didn't even hit until 3 or 4 days before the election, and we had great ads. Mel Gibson got on there and did a great piece. In fact, when he was interviewed by Diane Sawyer on national television, and she turned to him in a real snide remark and said, "Well, are you telling me, Mel, that these clumps of cells we ought to be worried about?" And Mel looked right at her and said, "Diane, you're mistaken. What you're calling a clump of cells, you were once one of those, and so was I." I mean, he really hit it well, but it was too late. I think what needs to happen is we need to get organized. We need to get trained. Man, I would love to come out to Missouri and do a huge training session for a bunch of people in the St. Louis area. Then we'll hop over to Kansas City and do one there and get people educated on how to communicate truth on this issue to people they know over the backyard fence, around the water cooler, so that we can get our message out even if the media doesn't go our way.
Here is Paul in High Ridge. Paul, our time is very short.
Hi, Todd. Well, you know me. I'm a 100% disabled vet as well as a healthcare professional. I would not want an embryo to die to benefit my various conditions. But in any event, November, Lutherans for Life, as well as the bioethic chairman, Dr. Weiss from Concordia Seminary, conducted a conference that address these issues and not from an emotional agenda.
Good.
I think Mr. Danforth needs to be challenged. He needs to be publicly challenged to debate. We have men like Bob Weiss. We have men like Matt Harrison who could, both from a theological and a scientific perspective, address these issues.
Count me in on that, veterans too.
Paul, thank you very much for the call. Scott, real quickly, your response?
I would like to say right here that I would publicly agree to debate Senator Danforth at any major university in the state of Missouri between now and this ballot initiative, and if he'll respond to that initiative or to that invitation from me, I will be happy to join him in exploring this initiative publicly.
All right, we'll see what we can do with this. My producer has been willing to work the phones a little bit. We'll see what we can do, Scott. Finally, before we close up our conversation here, you said just a moment ago, delivering some bad news, that you think the ads will work. And California is kind of showing us the way. What can be done then at a federal level if this thing ties itself to what is legal federally?
Mm-hmm.
Can something be done there that can undo perhaps the eventual success of this initiative?
Well, that is why the one anti-cloning bill in the Senate, the Brownback bill, is so important to get passage. We have the votes in the House to pass that. In fact, it's been passed more than once. We do not have the votes in the Senate, and a lot of people who ought to know better, people like Orrin Hatch, that call themselves pro-life, are using the same silly arguments that Senator Danforth is using, and these people are misleading others who claim to be pro-life. And you know what we're learning through all this, Todd? That a lot of people who claim to be pro-life have no idea why they're pro-life.
And that's a subject for another hour with Scott Klusendorf. Scott, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, you'll find some great pro-life resources at the website for the Life Training Institute, where Scott serves as president. Just go to our website first, issuesetc.org. Click links on the left-hand side. Scroll down. You'll find Scott Klusendorf, and you will also find Life Training Institute and Stand to Reason. Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute. When we come back from this break, we've got a half hour to round off today's program. A holiday movie review. Holiday season is a big movie time, and it's the time when movies make a lot of money. The biggest one so far? Well, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We'll talk about it with Brian Godawa, screenwriter from Southern California. Also find out some other holiday movies that he would like to review. Things that you might be seeing with your time off coming up in the next few weeks. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. The last 25 minutes of Issues Etc. is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.